week of December 9th, 2004. 21 black former and current police officers in Baltimore have filed a discrimination lawsuit against the city. The officers say that nooses were hung in their lockers, dog feces was placed on their desks, and zebra stripes were drawn on pictures of their mixed-race children by other officers. The lawsuit alleges that the Baltimore Police Department condoned a hostile work environment, blocked the promotions of black officers, and retaliated against officers who spoke out about discrimination. The accusations date back to 1994 in some cases. A former corrupt narcotics officer in Buffalo, New York, has been testifying in the case of two of his fellow officers who are facing a corruption trial of their own this week. Testifying at the trial of officers Paul Skinner and Sylvester Acosta, which we told you about last week, Officer Renee Gill spent almost 4 hours on the stand on Monday. Gill told the court about how some narcotics officers stole money on drug raids, planted evidence on suspects, and lied to judges in order to obtain search warrants. He also testified about his own drug dealing while he was an officer. Other evidence presented at the trial included an FBI videotape of the crooked officers dividing money stolen at a drug raid inside the police station. When asked by a lawyer why officers would take shortcuts, like planting evidence on suspects, Gill responded that it was much easier to lie than to actually conduct an investigation. The trial of Skinner and DaCosta is expected to wrap up next week.
It's devastating. He is a beloved person to all of us. We grew up together.
Nick came and grabbed him and took him and drove him back to the car and threw that boy on his head on the asphalt out there. And the lady called me from, the neighbor called me from us and said, the police is killing your brother.
I have one beer. And to just devastate a person like that, slam him to the ground, that's not necessary. The police is overstepping their boundaries. It's just ridiculous. It's senseless. And he needs to be vindicated.
A man who was guilty of having an open container of beer across the street from his home was killed by police in Jacksonville, Florida last Friday. The 49-year-old victim had his neck broken by Officer Caleb Underwood. Underwood had just resigned over a separate incident in September where he kicked a handcuffed boy in the head. The boy was not resisting arrest, according to an internal police report. After the report was completed, the officer was advised to resign as he was still in the probationary period of his employment, but not soon enough to save the man he killed last weekend. According to witnesses in the case of the killing, the victim was slammed to the ground by the officer after he complained that his handcuffs were too tight. The victim was unresponsive after hitting the ground and died in hospital an hour later. Underwood was 27 days from completing his probation with the Jacksonville police when he resigned over the excessive force finding. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Monday that an officer who sold videotapes of himself removing a police uniform and masturbating was justifiably fired by the San Diego Police Department. The officer had appealed his dismissal successfully in the past, but the Supreme Court decision overturns the decisions of other courts. The officer sold his pornography on eBay, where his username was codestud3@aol.com. In the decision, the officer, who was not named, was found to have linked his videos and other products to his police work. Most significantly, the Supreme Court ruled that police officers who make porn are not protected by the First Amendment. A man in Kenner, Louisiana, died on Saturday, less than 48 hours after being shot twice by a police taser. Police used the stun gun on the man after a traffic stop when he refused to exit his car. The man's death was the second in 6 months connected to taser use by the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Department. Last week, an Amnesty International report revealed that 74 people in the United States and Canada had died of taser-related causes in the past 4 years. The manufacturer of the stun guns, Taser International, claimed their product is non-lethal. In a recent federal study, a U.S. Air Force laboratory concluded that the weapons could have unintended dangers and called, as did the Amnesty International report, for more research. A 20-year-old Ottawa man died on Saturday when his car went out of control during a police chase. The province's Special Investigations Unit, which is investigating the crash, is not releasing further details. In Toronto, the SIU is investigating another accident which occurred when police were chasing an SUV driven by a 15-year-old girl. The driver of a third vehicle is in hospital in critical condition. While admitting no wrongdoing, the city of Oakland has decided to settle four police misconduct lawsuits for around $200,000. The largest settlement, almost $97,000, went to a woman who was sexually assaulted by an officer. The woman had asked Officer Frank Morrow for help in the pre-dawn hours of May 21, 2001, after another officer had her car towed and injured her hand in a dispute. Morrow arrested her, but officials at the local jail would not process the woman because of her injuries. Morrow then drove the woman to a secluded location, where he forced her to perform oral sex on him before returning her to the jail, where she was charged with public drunkenness. In unrelated cases, the city agreed to pay $60,000 to a man who police punched in the eye, $25,000 to a man who was beaten by police, and $13,000 to a man who was beaten and wrongfully arrested by police. A former Washington County, Pennsylvania police officer has been allowed to participate in a first-time offender program after he allowed two 16-year-old girls to consume alcohol at his home and threatened one of them when she contacted the authorities. Officer David Sosovsky was sentenced to the program for corruption of minors, furnishing alcohol to minors, and witness intimidation. If Sosovsky completes the one-year program, his criminal record will be cleared, but he can no longer work as a police officer in Pennsylvania. A key witness in a police corruption case in Toronto has fled the country and cannot be compelled to return to Canada to testify. The RCMP say that Daniel Contagianis, who recently moved from the Greater Toronto area to Florida, was involved in a shakedown scheme that targeted bars in the entertainment district. It is alleged that Toronto police officers demanded money from bar owners to warn them or protect them from liquor license inspections. In one case, $50,000 was paid to police by bar owners to avoid inspections. So far, officers Rick McIntosh, former head of the police union, William McCormick Jr., son of the former Toronto police chief, George Carutis, and Jody Watson, McCormick's wife, have been charged with dozens of offenses. The missing witness is expected to have an impact on the cases involving McIntosh and McCormick. The mayor of Shelbyville, Indiana, has said that prosecutors are considering laying charges against local police officers after an independent investigation. A year ago, a group of 20 officers made a series of allegations against the former police chief, other officers, and city officials in a lawsuit claiming misconduct. The allegations against the officers include use of position for personal gain, falsification of police records, harassment and intimidation of residents, working and driving a police vehicle while intoxicated, racketeering, and other corrupt practices. Former Chief Kurt Etherton was charged in September with theft, conspiracy to commit theft, and corrupt business influence resulting from a state police investigation. The expected new charges are the result of a separate investigation launched in October. A police officer in Farmington, Minnesota, was charged last Friday for having sex with a 16-year-old high school student. Officer Jeremy Buss has been charged with criminal sexual conduct and misconduct by a peace officer. Buss is currently free on bail and is on administrative leave from his job until the charges are resolved. An investigation began on November 28th after the girl's mother called police because she believed an adult man was having a relationship with her daughter. When investigators determined that the man was one of their own officers, they turned the matter over to another police department.
I'm trying to eliminate a problem. They come right there and start harassing me.
We will send a letter to the district attorney requesting their approval to forward all current investigations to the attorney general's office.
It shouldn't be a local thing because it's too much politics in these little small towns and a lot of people are afraid of the police. I think the best thing they have done was to turn it over to the attorney general.
It's one thing to get arrested, but it's the excessive force. It's over excessive force.
For them to come out this way, we couldn't let it go.
In recent weeks, residents of Ambridge, Pennsylvania, have filed a number of complaints against their local police department alleging brutality and misconduct. An investigation launched by the local council has been handed over to the state attorney general's office for further investigation. The FBI is also now looking at the allegations made in the complaints. Further details have not been made public.
I'm relieved that they've been dropped, but I think something needs to be done with the officer that assaulted me. I have nightmares and anxiety attacks, and something needs to be done about that.
The mayor of Atlanta is calling for an investigation into police brutality after a videotape showing a police officer throwing a woman to the ground was aired on a local television station. Officer Terrence Alexander was shown on videotape trying to arrest the woman for a minor airport parking infraction when she was thrown to the ground. Alexander has been reprimanded or suspended without pay 13 times since 2001 for violating department rules. Alexander is currently on medical leave, and an internal investigation of the incident is underway. A lawyer in Jefferson Village, Ohio, who was arrested for possession of heroin on Saturday, says he was framed by the police. The lawyer was representing a client who was recently brutalized by police and had a witness to the beating in his car at the time of the arrest. The lawyer, who has been practicing locally for over 20 years, was charged with one count of drug possession and one count of possession of drug paraphernalia. The lawyer says the police planted 7 grams of black tar heroin in his clothing.
Get for the hate. When they come and go, they do it all for fun. walk straight, make up all the fake stockings on my feet. Fall straight, asking me why. I don't act like a normal American guy. What if this is straight and me so big? What if this is straight and me so big? What if this is straight and me so big? What if this is straight and me so big? Cause the land of the free, safe home of the brave. You know they call me a queen, just another human being. What is America so straight and me so bad? What is America so straight and me so bad? What is America so straight and me so bad? What is America so straight and me so bad? Your authority and your power has turned us sick and sour, and your justice is a lie. And we're gonna fight until you die. What is America so straight and me so bad? What is this so straight and me so bad? What is America so straight and me so bad? What is America so straight and me so bad? Think up! Think up! Think up! What you gonna do? The mafia blue, hunting for queer niggers than you. Think up! Think up! Think up! Think up! Time for a switch. Army of the rich, not your fucking slave. Who lives on your grave? Think up! Think up!
People are finally beginning to question the words of sworn officers.
They say police tampered with evidence and bullied and harassed witnesses. But the violent police response, which was applied indiscriminately to protesters, was by all accounts excessive and harsh.
It's the silence of all of us that lets the cops do what they're doing.
Because that night when they killed my son, not to kill him.
Que ya no siguieran disparando más a mi hijo.
To stop shooting him.
Se los pedía por piedad.
I begged them.
We are now being surrounded by a large contingent of cops. They're now surrounding the area.
I couldn't get out because they kept on shoving me down and
Yeah, well, they're robots. Fucking robots.
How do they expect me to get away when they keep on shoving me down?
The cops are very nervous and have been firing rubber bullets.
The family members of slain victims of police brutality marched at the front of the 500-strong column.
Everybody who gets their jaw broken, their arm broken, or their teeth smashed out by a police officer goes to a hospital. Where are the doctors? Why have they been silent? Where is the medical profession, the healers who every day are stitching us back together, who are setting our jaws, setting our bones, and yet say nothing when we stand up and say we're being brutalized?
Cornelius Hall is an East Bay fire captain whose son, Gerald Hall, was shot by a Bay Area transit police officer in 1992.
It was equally disturbing to see the violent police repression of demonstrators. Tear gas, pepper spray, and rubber bullets were repeatedly used on nonviolent protesters. A growing movement has sought to expose the increasing frequency of police brutality, not only at mass demonstrations, but on a daily basis in most major cities of America. An organization called the Stolen Lives Project has documented over 2,000 cases of police brutality since 1990.
Yet for hundreds of people, the very act of assembly, of free speech, of protesting against state and corporate policies means arrest, jailing, and in some cases, convictions and sentencing, all for acts said to be protected by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. What can any of it mean to men and women in Chicago, Minneapolis, San Francisco, and D.C. who were beaten by agents of the state for their protests? What people learn from these experiences is that the courts are not their courts, and that the agents of the state do not serve their interest.
But for millions of people in America's ghettos, living under daily police harassment, life itself is the struggle.
What it is police
solution to the problem. Indeed, it is the problem. The poor, the black and Chicano, are subjected to this campaign of terror to keep them contained in the ghettos of the community. It is important for us to understand the role of the cops, as they serve not the people, but the rulers. Indeed, they admit as much. Think of the last time that there was a shooting of a so-called citizen by the cops. What do they say? We were just doing our jobs.
standing on a stand. Came up to my window, shouted to get out. Boy quickly took the note, I shoved it in his mouth. I drove away, he shouted for some more. So I threw it out the window and he hit it on the floor.
How are you going to have LAPD investigate? You know, it's like the fox guarding the hen house, unquote. Perez told a task force probing the largest LAPD corruption scandal in at least 50 years. Quote, you can't have the LAPD investigating the LAPD, unquote, the former elite Rampart crash officer said. There's too many relationships, too many friends, too many connections. Seeking leniency on charges of stealing 8 pounds of cocaine from a police evidence room, Perez has testified that he and other officers in the Rampart Division Crash Anti-Gang Unit, Community Resource Against Street Hoodlums, shot innocent people, planted guns and narcotics on their victims, and routinely fabricated police reports and committed perjury in court. At least 57 cases involving 99 defendants have been confirmed by investigators to have been tainted by Perez and dozens of officers implicated by a widening investigation. The sickening revelations, the frame-ups, the dope dealing, the tales of brutality verging on murder. Actually, there was murder. Have come from the mouths of police. I don't care if they have to hit some Chewy upside the head to stop crime in this city. And the public doesn't matter either.
The issue of race in law enforcement has always been there, but I think the people that are now heading the law enforcement departments are less sensitive to race. In New York here, white officers were shooting at a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King on a gun range. They just don't care. They really don't care about relations and race relations.
Because these incidents occur across this nation every day of the year. In fact, as we speak, I'm sure some are occurring now. Most of them, police brutality cases, end up in court, and many of them, only 2% of them, you end up with convictions. Even with the statistics to show that nothing will probably be done, the immediate response will calm the public fears and send them on to other issues, and then in the end, nothing will be done about the case.
The role of the police has been, since its birth, a repressively violent institution whose role is to enforce by any means the laws of a ruling elite class and to protect the property of the state's ruling class. One former officer's longtime snitch said she was secretly paid $500 to testify about a 1986 ballroom killing. In two other murder investigations, another crooked cop said drugs had been planted to justify illegal searches. Evidence from those searches was used in court. The DA knew what the cops were up to, but tolerated their use of planted evidence because it boosted their conviction rates. In February of 95, other gangster cops were indicted on federal charges for conspiracy, obstruction of true justice, illegal searches, intimidation, theft of more than $100,000 in cash, and denying suspects their constitutional rights. In New Orleans, 32-year-old Kim Groves was looking out her window when she saw two thugs in blue beating and pistol whipping up in their proud tradition of Rodney King, a black teenager. Kim recognized one of the lowlifes as Officer Lynn Davis. He was an instructor in a safety course she had taken a little while back. Cops had been charged with armed robbery, kidnapping, battery, bribery, extortion, rape, and murder. Officer Antoinette Frank was found guilty robbing a restaurant and murdering three persons in the process. In the Bronx's 48th precinct, the cops led by head Rambo cop Richard Rivera were busy getting drunk on duty, taking drugs and plotting their next line of robberies and grabs until May 3rd of 95, when 16 cops were arrested and indicted for an equal opportunity number of charges ranging from stealing weapons and money to illegally raiding apartments to falsifying evidence. Michael Dow and five other police drug dealers were arrested for cocaine trafficking in Suffolk County, Long Island, who, when they weren't robbing or shooting citizens, they were, according to the Mullen Commission report, drinking and snorting cocaine on duty, meeting with their girlfriends and or prostitutes, and shooting off their guns. To one precinct in New York, which had to be closed down completely because the cops got caught selling crack out of the precinct. Organized police forces and white supremacist organizations have their origins in approximately the same period, the Civil War years. The slave codes were enforced by the slave owners and their overseers, who would deputize slave patrols, i.e. cop patrols, from amongst the white male population. The police departments were set up after the British model of constables on patrol, or cops, in San Diego. 1980. A cop assigned to the Ku Klux Klan provides funds and radio equipment and also helps gather ballot signatures for all-American Aryan man Tom Metzger in San Bernardino, California. 1989. Black cops seeking a promotion are themselves sought out by the Brotherhood of Aryan Resistance, a white supremacist cop group. The cop finds threatening letters in a secure area in the police locker room in L.A. After two cops are suspended for practicing a traditional American pastime, burning a cross, and in this case, inside a jail facility, one of the cops, Brian Comiskey, later shoots and kills a Mexican national. Later it's revealed that in the police's Peter Pitch jail facility, there's this white supremacist cop group called the Wayside Whiteys. In East L.A., there's the Caveman. And at the Linwood station, you have the group of American Nazi Christian patriots called the Vikings. And in Florida, 92, David Demiski, who was fired from the police for flaunting a swastika tattoo at a Jewish female cop's, seeks reinstatement with the honest statement that racism and Nazism are rampant on the police force. For proof, he provides a picture of two fellow cops dressed in a Nazi uniform that was in the chief of police's office.
You'll go forever! That's a
December 16th, 2004. A police officer in Jackson, Mississippi, was arrested this week after he was accused of raping a 13-year-old girl. Officer Perry Coleman turned himself in last Thursday. The girl claimed that Coleman raped her at his home on Monday. The girl's mother says Coleman was mentoring her daughter. Coleman was placed on administrative leave with pay earlier this week. He's been charged with statutory rape and, if convicted, faces up to 20 years in jail. A business executive in Lunenburg, Massachusetts, who was arrested along with his son last year, has filed court documents requesting disciplinary records of two police officers. The man and his son arrived at their home to discover police beating the man's 71-year-old father after the man did what anyone would do and intervened, attempting to stop the beating. He was charged with assaulting a police officer and resisting arrest, along with his teenage son, after they were beaten by the police themselves. In the court documents filed this week, the man claims that he believes that the officers involved, Matthew Swain and Shane Rodriguez, have been the subject of a number of complaints regarding brutality and assaults on citizens.
We have a 12-year-old boy. We had two officers shooting in the back. Not in the front, not in the chest, in the back. Meaning, he's defenseless.
The truth is this boy was murdered. The truth is the police lied to cover it up. And now the truth is that they have used what they call their investigative procedures to continue the cover-up and to try to get these troopers never to have to answer for their conduct.
I just wanted the truth. I wanted to know how my baby died, why my baby died. That's it.
The U.S. Department of Justice will not lay charges against two state troopers responsible for the shooting death of a 12-year-old boy in Uniontown, Pennsylvania on Christmas Eve 2002. Prosecutors say that there's not enough evidence to proceed with charges against troopers Samuel Nassan and Juan Curry. At a coroner's hearing in January 2003, Curry claimed that his gun went off accidentally as he was climbing over a fence. Nassan testified that he fired at the boy because he thought the boy had fired a shot at Curry. The lawyer for the boy's family has accused the police of covering up the shooting and has in the past claimed to have witnesses to back up his claims.
It's shocking that if it's school procedure for any age child to be arrested, cuffed, put in the back of a paddy wagon, taken down to a police station, while the school knew all day that this was going on, never to have contacted an interested adult like her mother.
That was unnecessary.
As far as a handcuffing and a police action, that's uncalled for. They should have called the parent and let them straighten it out.
Police in Philadelphia arrested a 10-year-old fourth grader last Thursday for having scissors at school. Officials at the school say that the girl did not threaten anyone with the scissors, but that they have a zero-tolerance policy towards weapons in the school. The police say they were following department rules when they handcuffed the girl and took her to a police station in a patrol wagon. They later released her with no charges. The school, however, suspended her for 5 days. A police officer in St. Catharines, Ontario, has been accused of having sex on the hood of his police cruiser in a park and trying to frame a fellow officer for drunk driving. Constable Eric Mattison is facing 8 charges of misconduct under the Police Services Act, including deceit, discreditable conduct, and neglect of duty. Details of the incidents, which took place in 2003, were obtained by a Hamilton newspaper this week. Mattison, who is suspended without pay, is denying the allegations. His 13-year police career has been marred by criminal charges, including assault and soliciting prostitutes. His father is former Toronto police officer David Mattison, who murdered his wife and dumped her body parts in Lake Ontario. In the most recent charges, Mattison is accused of falsifying information after he pulled over a senior officer in a traffic stop and charged him with drunk driving. He was observed by a group of teenagers in a Port Coburn park having sex with a woman who he had offered a ride to earlier on the hood of his police cruiser in a public park. Police say that he also used police computers twice the same evening to try to obtain information about the woman. Mattison, who is married, pleaded guilty to soliciting a prostitute in 1994 after being caught in a police sting and was fined $200. He also pleaded guilty to assaulting a man in 1999. A hearing date for the most recent charges will be set on January the 11th. A Los Angeles police officer used a stun gun on a 78-year-old man last week. The man had gone to the Los Angeles International Airport to retrieve an impounded car. Police say the man made threats and ignored their commands to stop moving towards them. When they were forced to send 50,000 volts of electricity through his body, ultimately sending the man to hospital. Police say they plan to charge the man with disturbing the peace and resisting an officer. The FBI are investigating the Lafayette, Louisiana Police Department's use of tasers in relation to two specific cases. In August, police shocked a man 17 times with a stun gun during a drug sting. In October, a man died in Lafayette police custody after he was shocked with a stun gun. A man in Carbondale, Colorado, who was tasered by a police officer after he failed to come to a full stop at a stop sign, will have his police brutality case heard by a judge in February. Police strongly defend the use of tasers. Stun guns manufactured by Taser International, which have been making the supposedly non-lethal weapons since the 70s, enjoyed more than $13 million in sales in the first quarter of 2004. According to Amnesty International, more than 74 people in the United States and Canada have been killed in cases related to taser use in the past 4 years. That number appears to be getting larger very quickly. There have been several more taser-related deaths since the November release of the Amnesty International reports on taser use. Police in New York City shot and killed a Bronx man this week after he was involved in a dispute with a man who had stolen his cell phone. The man who had lost his phone decided to call it and confronted a man who appeared to be in possession of it. He was later confronted by the police, who shot him 3 times. Police claim that the man was in possession of a firearm, but so far the gun has not been recovered. A police officer in Chicago has been charged with swindling a 91-year-old man out of his home. Officer Donald Owsley has been charged with financial exploitation, forgery, and official misconduct. Owsley is alleged to have befriended the elderly man before fraudulently obtaining interest in his estate and making himself a joint tenant in the man's bank accounts. He also filed false documents to make himself the beneficiary of the man's home in the event of his death. If convicted, Owsley faces up to 15 years in prison.
I would be tried by God and not by man.
In our eyes, it's murder. It wasn't self-defense, but that's what the jury saw fit. Maybe we can carry on knowing that he's going to jail. He's going to jail.
A former RCMP constable in Lethbridge, Alberta, convicted of manslaughter for killing a prisoner, will be allowed to serve his sentence at home. Constable Mike Ferguson was awaiting sentencing in jail. Ferguson shot and killed a man in a jail cell struggle in October 1999. The charge of manslaughter involving a firearm usually carries a minimum 4-year jail sentence, but Ferguson's lawyer successfully argued that since Ferguson used a gun in his daily work, that he should therefore not be required to serve the minimum sentence. A judge agreed and sentenced Ferguson to 2 years less a day of house arrest. Prosecutors who requested a 6-year jail sentence have 30 days to appeal the sentence. A sheriff's deputy in Orange County, Florida, was caught on videotape urinating in a public elevator last month. The property managers of the building the elevator was in installed a camera in order to catch the person responsible for the urine stench that had been plaguing the elevator every few days for several weeks. The camera captured Deputy Carl Brown using the elevator for a purpose other than its intended one. Brown is on administrative duty while the investigation continues. 2 sheriff's deputies in Riverside, California, were charged last week with sexual assault of female inmates at the county jail in Indio. Deputy Joseph Bassett was charged with 11 felony and 4 misdemeanor counts of aggravated sexual battery and or having consensual sex with inmates. Deputy John Burns was charged with 9 felony counts of aggravated sexual battery and or having consensual sex with inmates. 8 female inmates claim to have been assaulted. Some claim to have been groped while handcuffed or awaiting court proceedings. Others claim they were forced to perform sex acts in exchange for clothing, toiletries, and other living materials. Bassett, Burns, and a 3rd officer, who has not been charged, were placed on administrative leave in June after the allegations against them became known. 3 Toronto police officers who killed a man at a park last summer will not have charges filed against them. This week, Ontario's Special Investigations Unit cleared the officers who shot the man 4 times as he approached them with a knife and refused to comply with their orders. community activists are calling the shooting unjustified and unnecessary and are calling for the reform of the Special Investigations Unit. A man whose beating at the hands of Los Angeles police was televised worldwide was sentenced to 3 years in prison this week. The man's lawyer says he hopes that now that his client has taken responsibility for his actions, the district attorney will hold the officers responsible for the beating accountable. In the videotape, Officer David Hale is seen tackling the man, who was standing still with his hands raised, before Officer John Hatfield struck him with a flashlight at least 11 times. The appropriate response, as far as the LAPD is concerned, appears to be their plan to issue smaller, specially designed rubber-coated flashlights in the near future. Two unidentified police officers in Del Rio, Texas, are currently under investigation for misconduct. No other details are available presently.
They came and grabbed him and took him and drove him back to the car and threw that boy on his head on the asphalt.
I have one beer. And to just devastate a person like that, slam him to the ground, that's not necessary. And he needs to be vindicated.
The Justice Department and the FBI will be investigating two recent in-custody deaths in Jacksonville, Florida. As we told you last week, a man was killed by Officer Caleb Underwood, who broke the man's neck after discovering the man drinking a beer in public. Days later, another man was killed after police pepper sprayed him and put him in a restraint. The cause of death in that case has not been released. The deaths of two black men in police custody over 1 3-day period has raised some serious concerns about the Jacksonville police. Three witnesses in an ongoing police brutality trial in Sacramento this week testified that they witnessed police beating two women. The victims of the beating are suing the county and deputies Heather Sullivan and David Leon, along with Sergeant Gregory Johnson. Several witnesses claimed they called the police and reported the officers' behavior, but that no reports were taken. The brawl was started after Sullivan pulled one of the victims over for a minor traffic infraction on May 11th, 2002.
We want to see. We want to see.
Police brutality is what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
On Monday night, angry residents in Hartford, Connecticut, crammed into a city council meeting to complain about an act of police brutality which occurred last month. A meeting with public officials has been arranged. The chief of police in Elmer, New Jersey, was indicted by a grand jury this week. Chief William Osterman, Jr. was charged with several counts relating to his failure to destroy weapons which were not sold at a city auction. Osterman kept the guns instead. He was forced to turn over his badge, gun, and keys to the police station and has been suspended with pay. His charges include three counts of official misconduct, theft, failure to obtain a gun permit, tampering with physical evidence, and attempted theft. A police officer in Colorado Springs has resigned after being charged with misconduct. 3 weeks ago, Officer Charles Brosshaus confronted an 18 to 20-year-old man for underage drinking. Instead of issuing a citation, as is the custom, the officer took the man back to a police station and took a number of shirtless photographs of the man. The Colorado Springs Police Department is trying to get the officer's law enforcement certification revoked. The city council in Oak Grove, Kentucky, met last week to consider disbanding their local police department. Councilors are concerned with the high insurance premiums that they must pay, which result from several lawsuits involving allegations of misconduct by its officers. Last month, a jury awarded over $2 million to a local couple who were successful in their police misconduct suit. Other than the killings already mentioned, police also killed people this week in Portland, Oregon, Des Moines, Iowa, and in Chicago and Belleville, Illinois.